This month's episodes of Comic Book Club are sponsored by the following fantastic people through patreon.com/comicbookclub. Daniel Fuentes.
Dan Snow.
Luke Asink.
Andrew Richardson.
Jeffrey Reicher.
Matthew Wood.
Mitchell McDonald.
Beverly Stark.
Zika's Viral Comics.
Louis Ruff.
Chris Weens.
Dennis Scott.
Victor Perez.
W. Blaine.
Aaron Miller.
Demand Ryan.
Curtis LaRocque.
Hugo Sanchez.
Jason Kelly. And a special shout out and thank you to Ben Brown. Guys, if you would like to support the show, please do patreon.com/comicbookclub. It helps us keep the lights on, so to speak, and we appreciate it so, so very much.
Yes, thank you to everybody who donates and to the people who listen. We really, really, really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
And now, enjoy the live show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman
Prime. Boothman Prime with the new haircut, looking good.
Yeah, totally. Very I know. He's exciting. Beautiful. It's just
yeah,
good.
I can definitely see it through lit. The darkness yeah, of the theater. Yeah.
And here's my haircut, fresh on stage with lit. And I can't even choke it.
Yeah, I didn't even notice you got a haircut.
Yeah. You only see my heart and soul when you look at me, right?
Yeah, all the blackness.
My aura, yeah.
Well, guys, this was a big weekend for comic book stuff. I don't know. Blipped out for a second there. It's actually very bright on stage, and I think it's reflecting off your hair.
This isn't. It's a very bright. It's shine. This isn't Super Bowl Club. This is Comic Book Club.
Yeah, no, but there were a bunch of comic book movie trailers. There was the Infinity War teaser. Did you guys see that?
That was a very light teaser.
It was a very light teaser.
Huh?
It was a great teaser.
It just. I wanted more. I wanted a little bit more.
Obviously, but you know. I mean, millions of dollars for like 2 seconds.
Here's the thing. They have 40 superheroes in that movie, and that teaser was 20 seconds long.
Yeah.
All they could do was show you people's faces. Honestly, it looked like
it was just cut scenes from other movies. Like, right. It could have just been like, what about this guy?
Yeah, I had to go back and watch it a bunch of times. So there was the Doctor Strange shot where Iron Man was like, hey, I'm over here!
Yeah.
You're like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
He ran right through his thing he was creating. I thought it was super rude of him.
It's sort of just like seeing a new like friend on Facebook and seeing how many mutual friends you have in common.
Yes.
That's what this movie essentially is.
Here's my question for you. If it was 2.5 hours of that, though, that would still be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You're friends with Vision? That's so cool. I went to college with him.
And then Black Widow comes up and like, check out this hilarious video.
Yeah. And that's a Russian bot.
Yep, there you go.
She's a Russian bot, quite literally.
Yes. I thought you were specifically going for that. I'm specifically going for our guests, who are amazing. Cool. I don't know what that means exactly.
Yeah, no, I think you covered it. What a teaser. You gave a little teaser.
I did, a little bit. I'm very excited about them. They're two of our favorite people to have on the show. They have two new books that came out today, both of them action-packed, both of them about presidents. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy!
Yeah. Welcome back, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right here. That's good.
Yeah, come on.
Have a microphone. Hello. Have a seat.
Chart your own path.
Yeah. Welcome, gentlemen.
Let your conscience be your guide, guys.
Guys, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thanks for having us.
We always love having you here. Now, we have been talking to you about, I don't know if you consider it necessarily a series, but you did Action Philosophers, you did Comic Book History of Comics, and now you have Action Presidents. And they're informative. And they're fun at the same time.
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
This one is being released a little bit differently, though, right?
It is. Yeah, they are 110-page hardback books, graphic novels, entirely because of our publisher, HarperCollins.
Yeah.
Wanted it that way, and since they're... Names are
they
the
know
checks.
A little bit more about publishing than we do.
Yeah. And these are the first ones exclusively for, not exclusively, marketed for children. So it's Harper Kids is the imprint. And technically they're for middle grade readers, so fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. But
that's Pete.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Our demographic.
I really enjoyed that. Not only was it entertaining, but it was also very informative. A lot of stuff I didn't know in there.
Really? You thought going in that you knew literally everything about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln?
Well, if it's like a kid's book, it was like, okay, what am I going to learn? But then I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
We definitely like to think of them as literally all ages books. Like, that's kind of a term people bandy about. But we feel like,
just,
you know,
kid friendly, not necessarily kid focused.
Yeah. Do you think, though, did writing for this specifically change the way that you approach the books in any way? Not that they were super raunchy to begin with.
Yeah, we had less, like, God.
A lot less cursing. That's
a lot less cursing, a lot less God's middle finger flicking off humanity, which we had in Action Philosophers.
More violent, though.
That is, in many ways, violent. Much more violent. That's true. We had this, I had this children's word book on my desk as I was writing that sort of gave vocabulary words for, like, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders and tried to keep it at fifth grade level. So, did you feel...
I felt very comfortable.
It was the really one I hit just, the mark.
Yeah, I really...
Because he read Team of Rivals and found it a little elevated.
This is sort of right
in the sweet spot.
Less plagiarism.
Yeah.
That's one. So, one thing, we should take a little bit of a step back, you guys. If you have never read the books before, if you're listening at home or if you're here in the theater, they are fun. Ryan's style is a lot of fun. Forgive me saying this, it's cartoony, I think, right?
Mad Magazine.
Yeah, Mad Magazine style.
Ryan's like, I was trying to draw realistically. You're crushing my soul.
I thought I was Frank Frazetta.
That's how the world looks to me.
They'll never hire me for Batman, ever.
But at the same time, it's extremely well-researched and extremely well-thought-out, and even as you are doing it in this cartoony style, you're still capturing the sense of these characters. So going into these in particular, what kind of research did you guys need to do, both from the writing and the art perspective?
You go ahead, Fred.
Well, I actually went to Mount Vernon, and I actually went to...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did actually visit a lot of the places.
Springfield, Illinois, to Lincoln's home, Ford's Theater. We actually went to a lot of places. We dragged Ryan's kids to Oyster Bay, Sagamore Hill, which is Theodore Roosevelt's estate in Long Island, which is great. Unless you're Ryan's kids, in which case it's really boring. But we had fun.
We had a good time.
The other thing is we're doing 440 pages of President's Comics, at least that's our initial contract. Yeah. And so 110 came out today. So we've been working on this project since 2014. Ryan's been drawing for a really long time.
Yeah, I have, I don't think I've been drawing. I've been drawing since 2015.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it's
nice.
About how many pages a day do you do? What's your pace like?
Usually I do no pages a day, and then I do them all like in a horrible
And then in one night, in, like, he does 75.
He's like Santa Claus.
No, I actually can do two a day, but I also have other projects, and so I have to juggle it in between all those things. I have two web comments.
Oh, this relationship.
So the way that the George Washington book starts, at least, I mean, it gets pretty into, like, here's what you think George Washington is, here's what he's actually like. And even though it does have, for that fifth or sixth grade level, it doesn't shy away from some of the more problematic things about him. Was there anything that went a little too far?
I don't know. People have to tell us if we went too far.
Oh, I mean, in terms of your editor's point.
I don't think anything like that ever came up.
Not really.
We worked with them pretty well to get just the right balance, especially with things like slavery and
some of his going out among Native Americans early in his career, basically single-handedly starting the French and Indian War, which is kind of oops, you know, that was kind of hilarious moment in his career. They sent out the book to a sensitivity reader.
Who's that person?
She's like a letterhead and everything. Like, she's an actual person. It's an actual job, and we did pretty well.
I think we scored some points.
We did most of the things she said, and some things we were like, no, that's just awesome. We're leaving that in there. Mm.
When I don't know about you guys, I've clearly never met this person, but I definitely picture somebody with, like, permanently weepy eyes in my head.
I'm so sorry to be mentioning this, but I felt like it was a little problematic.
So much squeaking.
Yeah, I think that's probably a different type of sensitivity, maybe.
It was all written, so I don't know the voice was. But it's quite possible that was accurate.
So what about
Tear stain email.
I swear I'm not going to keep focusing on this forever, but I haven't read the Abraham Lincoln one. I am curious, when you get up to something like Abraham Lincoln being assassinated, how much of that can you get into?
Spoiler, dude.
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Historical.
want people
whatever
to buy
happens
book.
To Abraham Lincoln when you get to that, how tough is that to deal with in this format?
Well, the interesting thing, sort of, it's good sort of dramatically but kind of sad in real life, is that because they're ostensibly kids' books, we do try to focus a lot on the kids' experiences of the White House, both the actual presidents when they were kids and then when they have kids and if they have kids come to the White House. Because what was very unusual for Lincoln was that his kids were really young compared. Like, they were the youngest kids ever to grow up in the White House at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and he was only like the 16th president, right? So we hadn't had a lot of them before then. So the way we did it, the way we staged the scene, I thought Ryan executed really well, is that sadly his son, Tad, they went to Ford's Theater that night. And Tad, you're already smiling. Tad went to a play also of Aladdin, and he's like 8 or something like
that.
Yeah,
he was about 8 or 9.
And so they stopped the play 20 minutes in to announce that the president's been assassinated.
Oh.
With that, perhaps semi knowing that the guy's son is in the audience, and so the kid kind of didn't take it well. Shockingly. Man. Spoiler alert. Finding out your play gets stopped, finding out your dad's been murdered, you don't take it well.
Yeah, that happened to me when I went to see Hamilton, actually, which was super awkward.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, that's all right. I watched the rest of the show. It's really good,
it's
you guys.
Very
it's
good.
Worth it.
Very good.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, so I don't know if that exacerbates the trauma of Lincoln's assassination by...
I think it actually makes it worse.
Well, you know, the kids can relate to it now a little bit better than just, you know... Other than that, how did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Or whatever they thought.
Yeah. When, this is definitely a generalization.
Bringing the party down, sorry.
Yeah, no. This is definitely a generalization, but when you're younger, a lot of the literature you read is about glorifying these people, talking about George Washington was the first president. He's the best president. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Yay, Abraham Lincoln. And then I feel like a lot of our adulthood is about breaking these people down, you know, pointing out their flaws and pointing out.
You don't
out
have to do that as much as you do, though. Just let them ride, man.
Here's
That's
the
fine.
Thing. Justin's been gaining a little weight. He got a haircut.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. If I was a kid, I would have been like, you're the best.
Oh, man.
Oh, really? Great.
That's fucked
what
up.
What a monster.
You know,
let's never be like them, Ryan.
Never.
We'll always be friends.
I'm the sensitivity reader. You bastard.
I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Do you feel like when you attack these projects, did they give you a greater appreciation for these presidents, or did they make them more complicated in your minds?
Definitely for me. I mean, Fred is actually the one who's really into this stuff, and so... drawing them is kind of a learning experience for me. And when we first went into it, quite frankly, I was like, oh, presidents, I don't really care. But now I really do. And
you don't want to do anything else.
I never want to do anything else, pretty much.
Wow.
The other way. Yeah, I mean, I was into, I'm a big American Revolution nut, so I knew quite a lot about Washington, but I really didn't know that much about Lincoln, and I really didn't know that much about John F. Kennedy, who's going to be the fourth one. So that was sort of super interesting.
Wait, who's the third one?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt, yeah. Cool. He's the most kid-friendly of all the presidents, because he was
he's the most fun.
He's a big game hunter and an Amazonian explorer and a cowboy, and he did all the. He was a deputy sheriff out west.
He was like a psychopath, though. He was like shot multiple times and like just kept going.
That's
He was shot and made a speech with the bullets.
He shot going.
Chest.
He got shot walking into the building where he was going to give the speech.
Yeah,
in Milwaukee, so you knew it was hardcore. And then, but his glasses. He actually folded up the speech in the in his breast pocket, and so it stopped the bullet.
Man,
it was a long speech, fortunately, so the bullet didn't, you know, was able to not go that far in, but it penetrated his skin, and so he was bleeding, but he had shot so many things during his life, he was like, including people, he was like, I can make this, I can do the speech, and so he just, you know, delivers the speech, and he tells people that he's been shot, and the crowd goes bananas, and then he immediately went to the hospital, and sadly didn't win the election, unfortunately. So so fell short of his primary goal.
Do you include my favorite fact about Teddy Roosevelt, that he invented the daiquiri?
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Kids would love that.
Kids would love that.
Like, there's still time.
You bring that up. I assume the reason he got named, the drink got its name, was because that's where the Rough Riders landed in Cuba during the Spanish-American War.
And did draw a daiquiri.
And you did draw a daiquiri, and they made us take it out. So there's one thing that they made us take it out for the kids, is no alcohol references. And another thing they made us take out was that George Washington had a lot of problems with his troops.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't that very good, at least at first. And they were a lot of, like, country bumpkins, and so they kept peeing into the fortifications, like the ditches they would draw around the forts, and so you'd constantly yell at them to, well, A, stop peeing in your own fortifications, and B, stop shooting your guns in the air, which is something the American troops did all the time, and they'd be like, we only have so many bullets, you guys.
As a celebration for peeing?
That's right. I successfully peed.
That was my favorite scene in Hamilton, actually. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
But they didn't have a lot going on back then.
That was the unauthorized summer stock production of Hamilton. So, yeah, so we couldn't show booze and we couldn't show peeing. Yeah, booze was a real no-no.
Booze was a big one.
And it's a problem because it's...
it was a big one in the... We did a prototype version where it was like 20 pages and it was part of a textbook and we had to take out the booze references. And that
yeah, that's right, because there was the Whiskey Rebellion during...
We did have the Whiskey Rebellion in... Did we have it? I can't remember.
Wait, yeah, but only we actually saw so people long drinking.
You
whiskey.
Had to take out the Whiskey Rebellion entirely, or it was just
is the Shirley, you know, Shirley Temple
I think
Rebellion.
They, I turned think it into Harper the, turned to blunt. They let us get away with the they, Whiskey
we,
Rebellion.
We turned it into the Ginger Ale.
That's right. Oh, it was the, nice. It was the O'Doul's yeah. Rebellion.
Oh, cool.
So product you have placement. These four books coming out. What else are you guys working on? Fred, you have a book coming out this summer, right?
Yeah, I have a. Last summer, I became a prose novelist, which is awesome. I did a mystery novel called 10 Dead Comedians that's about a murder mystery involving stand-ups.
Is this because you hate comedians? You want them all to die, or what?
Well, if there are only 10 comedians in the world, then yeah, I've knocked them all off, but well, I think there are others to be around there. And then this summer I'm doing another murder mystery called The Con Artist that is set in the comic book industry. It's about a murder that takes place... A comic book artist is accused of murdering his editor, who's one of the most despised people in comics, during the San Diego Comic Con, and he is until the end of the con to figure out who actually did it.
Is this something
that's come out in July?
Dreamed about for a long time, or
I can neither confirm nor deny that assertion.
Yeah, seriously though, is the book? Did you find yourself drawing on real life figures? Clearly, you've been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean most of the. I mean, other than the actual murder, pretty much everything in the book, the crazier it is, the more likely it is that it actually happened. And I stole from a lot of like my experiences and my friends' experiences. And
spent so many hours behind tables. You must have drawn.
That's right. Yeah. Like, and took a lot of notes sitting there.
A lot of murder. You all right, man? You doing okay?
Well, you know, it's mysteries. It's, I guess we could have mysteries about where are my car keys, but unfortunately, murder is more grabs the audience more, I think. All right.
Cool. Well, man. Ryan, anything else you want to?
Yeah, I have a book coming out, another one, and coming out in 2 weeks, but it's just part of it. I'm part of this anthology called The Secret Loves of Geeks, which is all autobiographical stories about people's various love entanglements, being a nerd of some sort. And my story is called The Cool Chick, which was about having a very extroverted girlfriend when I was very much not. In my 20s. So.
Cool. Yeah. All right. When is that coming out?
That comes out on Valentine's Day.
All right.
Appropriately enough. And it's a great book, and there's all sorts of awesome contributors. Margaret Atwood did an awesome autobiographical story about loving horror when it's secretly when she was a teenager.
All right. Very
and that's
awesome.
A sequel really cool to a certain degree, it's a sequel to
Secret Loves of Geek Girls, which came out like two years ago. And this one's a little more, same idea, but it's more inclusive.
All right, very cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Check all that out and definitely pick up Action Presidents on stands everywhere.
Yeah.
Bookstores.
Yeah, it came out in bookstores today. It'll be in, I just saw it's on your diamond list. It'll be in comic stores tomorrow.
All right, there we go. The real stores, we like to call them.
That's where I get my groceries.
All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we'd like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about some books we wanted to talk about this week.
We just wanted to talk about it.
Let's kick it off talking about All New Wolverine, number 30 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Woo. Man. Now, Justin, you've been a big fan of this book for a while, right?
This book is one of the best on the stands right now. It's a way that this book has brought together all the sort of Wolverines to tell a story that is like touching. It's surprising. What's going on is the villains here are called the Orphans of X. It's people who have been victimized in some way by Wolverine, Sabretooth, Lady Deathstrike, Dawkins.
I mean, it's a big body count. I mean, they've They've messed up a lot of people's lives.
They're unhappy, and so they wanted to. They've been trying to kill all the Wolverines. They've been pretty successful. Then all the Wolverines came together behind Wolverine X-23.
Yeah, in fact, they've been not very successful because they killed all of them, but then everybody came back to life.
Yes, well, they shot them with bullets that stop Wolverine's healing factor, but then if you take out the bullet, it's fine.
Then you heal.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a good trick to know about just being shot. I think Teddy Roosevelt did the same thing. Yeah.
That's right. Laura just had a folded up speech over her. Yeah. I'm actually curious,
in your research, did you find out, is Teddy Roosevelt a Wolverine?
Ooh. We found out he's the Wolverine.
Wow, the first Wolverine.
He's the kind of guy that says bub a lot, I bet.
Yeah.
Or said bub.
He keeps shaving off his sideburns.
They keep growing back.
This book, they make a great choice halfway through, and it's just really great. The characters are great.
I can't agree with you more. Like, if you would have, gone back in time and been like, Pete, you're going to love this comic book. Your favorite character, Wolverine, is dead, but... X-23 is this amazing character, and they have a cast of characters that really support this comic in such a way that is different and so well done. And I like this because it's like Wolverine, who's a little bit smarter and has a little bit more heart. And it's, I really, really enjoy this comic.
She's my favorite Wolverine.
Yeah, I stopped short of saying that.
You stopped short?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so close.
Yeah. She's a favorite Wolverine.
Right? Yeah.
Do you, but Pete, you're saying that you love the fact that it's a cast of Wolverines all working together. You think that's pretty cool?
I do.
Yeah, you think the whole cast is great? You love them so much?
What are you setting me up for?
No. Just
so that nervous. To be not everything's a trap.
Everything's a trap with this guy. everything's a fucking trap.
It is not a trap. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just wondering. Like, you love the cast of this book. You think it's great, right?
Yeah.
So you love Dokken, one of the characters in the book.
Nope.
Who's your favorite Wolverine character?
No, that's my least favorite.
I don't know. That's kind
he
of what you just said.
He is one of the supporting characters.
Well, I wasn't talking about him. Obviously.
He is pretty cool.
Nope. Yeah.
Why?
He's got tattoos.
Can't you get over it?
No, I can't get over it.
Why? Right. The Punisher's
so,
fine.
So just to give you guys background, if you have no idea, there's a character named Dokken who's the son of Wolverine. I think it was it 50 years ago? He killed the Punisher in a really cool storyline, and Pete has never let it go.
Yeah, it was really... He was just the side character that they just introduced, and for some reasons he has tattoos that stay even though he heals from everything, but the tattoos, which I don't fucking understand at all.
Weird how that bothers you so.
But, yeah, there's just a B-level character that takes on
Adamantium
an A-level
Inc.,
character
perhaps?
And wins.
What?
It just
yeah,
doesn't
Adamantium Inc.
Yeah, Adamantium Inc.
Adamantium Inc.
Okay, great. Yeah, that solves
it. Does that make you like him now?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
This book is really good. I don't have much to add beyond what you guys said other than it's surprisingly funny and heartfelt all the time, particularly for a Wolverine book. This ends... essentially with Laura choosing her own path. It pays tribute to a lot of the history of the character, going back to her very first appearances, which I thought was really cool. It's great.
So you like all the characters in this?
Yeah.
So if they were
wait, all that is this a trap?
No, the conversations aren't all traps. But would you call any of these characters fat if it was like on the show? Characters on the show here with you?
Only if I was trying to be honest or like I'd studied them for a while.
Cool.
Cool. Let's move on and talk about
He's
this book.
Studying me.
The Silencer, number one from DC Comics. Now. This is a spinoff of actually the next book we're going to be talking about, Dark Knight's Metal. We don't know how exactly yet, other than they've told us this is coming out of the end of Dark Knight's Metal. Essentially, it seems like an excuse to bring in a bunch of new heroes into the DC universe. This one is basically a...
Now watch your fucking mouth with this.
Wow. Lady Punisher.
No, it's not Lady Punisher, you asshole. This
Explain
lady
how it's
has
different.
Powers. This lady has powers, so it's not...
Right, just like the time that Punisher was a Frankenstein monster.
Nope.
After Dokken killed him.
The question is, why does that bother you?
Well, you can't just say, oh, this is Lady Punisher, just because on the cover she's shooting guns.
She has guns throughout, and she seems like she's trying to...
She's more Martha Washington than
She kills people with whatever is around.
looks like the Revenger. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
That's comic. Right. Yeah. That is great book.
The Chuck Forcement comic, Revenger. Yeah. It's almost exactly there the same look.
There is a ton of differences between her and the Punisher, and it just drives me nuts how you see
somebody
with a
gun. So the reason she's
gun.
Called the Silencer is she does have a power to create a bubble of silence around her. Yeah. She was...
that power.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't kill
right
anyone
now?
With it. No, I would...
Oh, okay.
I go to a lot
get
of hotels.
More writing done.
It's just kind of like... Yeah. Keep myself in my own little bubble of silence.
It would be nice in like a Starbucks or something.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
What a nightmare, man.
What Starbucks?
A fucking nightmare, yeah. Being in a Starbucks.
Oh, you're walking down the sidewalk when somebody's got a really annoying conversation. Mm-hmm. They're right behind you. And they won't
in fact, if
you.
I had that power, the last thing that would occur to me to do with it would be to kill people. I would just be the happiest person.
Yeah. Second that mariachi band came on the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man.
Oh. Great music.
Oh, why does everybody get on me about this?
It's a celebratory type of music.
It's 8:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
What subway are you on?
The R train.
That's not. Don't be on that train.
What?
That's a party
I'm
train.
I'm on the R train.
That's a party train.
R train. At like 8:30 in the morning, a mariachi band will come.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Ugh, it's the worst.
R train, it's local, so everyone like has to take, they can take their time. They're not in a rush to get anywhere. See, I take express trains where everyone's like, let's get fucking there. No more fucking around. Nobody have a backpack on. Nobody look at each other. Stop it. That's the motto of the three.
So you're on the Silencer train.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, nice. the best thing about this book is it's the art is by John Romita Jr. and it's great. Oh, he is always great.
You got a couple claps over here.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I think it does seem like a very typical lady was in some sort of hyper spy organization back in the day, gets sucked back into it, even though she has a family.
Is this time it's personal?
This
is
time
it, personal?
It is in
it
fact personal.
It does feel personal in this case.
It does bring in some DC Universe continuity. She is friends with Talia al Ghul, which is weird for Talia al Ghul.
Talia al Ghul has friends?
I know. Wow. That's one of the things where she's like, you're one of my few friends. but the art is great, and I will read anything that John Romita Jr. draws. So there you go.
Risky.
Yeah, I really like this book. I know it was a little tropey, but
well, you like the Punisher. You're going to love Lady Punisher.
Fuck you. She has a family.
Punisher had a family.
Punisher had a family.
He had
fucking
one.
Well, I just don't understand why it bothers you so much. If you like guns, then you like this too.
You know Zalbin, right? So if you met somebody else and someone's like, oh, this person is just like Zalbin. Absolutely, and then you look and you can draw no parallels. I think it would make you a little upset, is all I'm saying.
I'm saying I think there are parallels there, and you can't see them because you have a weird thing for the Punisher. You have almost a romantic
attachment. What parallel
attachment.
Is there other than she has guns at one point?
She seems like she's trying to punish people.
No, she's protecting her family.
She's silencing them and then punishing them.
Her name is Franca Castle.
No, it's not. Yeah. She Franca literally goes like this, shh, and creates like this science ball. Punisher never does that. There's no...
Not yet. Like, what if next issue of the Punisher, he's like, oh yeah, I have these silencing powers.
Yeah.
Shh.
That would be great for everybody.
I did the Punisher panel at Paris Comic Con because I did the Deadpool versus the Punisher book.
Yeah,
I did. And that was one of the first questions was, do you think there will ever be a Lady Punisher? Except it was in French. The question.
Ooh.
And so now we know.
Do you think there will ever be a Lady Punisher?
Punisher femme.
Yeah.
And we were all.
I mean, there has
there
been
was a Lady Punisher. Sure.
There has been a female Punisher,
literally called Lady Punisher. I think there was one. Yeah.
Well, you guys should have been on the panel with me.
There we go. Next time, bring
us
to France.
Invite me to France.
Yeah, I will go to France.
All right. Last book we're going to talk about: Dark Knight's Metal, number 5, also from DC Comics. Uproarious applause for super psyched for this.
Cautious
metal.
Yeah. So this is one of DC's big events that is going on right now. This evil, dark multiverse is invading the DC universe and taking alternate versions of Bruce Wayne with it. And in this issue. A bunch of
it's
stuff.
It's easy to explain this going on.
Oh, yeah? Do you want to...
I don't even know if I could do this one. This book is crazy, and it's one of the ones where...
It keeps getting crazy.
The last issue is where they're going to tell you what's going on.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to, and often in books, you guys could probably attest to this, you tell people what's going on in the beginning.
Often. Sure.
Right.
Or the very end. I mean, you know, whatever.
If we know what's going on.
This,
that's a great point.
I will say this is the issue where it lost me a little bit.
Really?
That I feel like there's been a lot of crazy over-the-top trying to, in a positive way, ape Kirby insanity of, like, here's all this continuity stuff about the DC Universe that we're mixing in a new way, adding new details to. There's a dark forge of the multiverse where Hawkman is changed into this giant warrior.
So it's one of those comics that's about other comics.
Yeah, exactly. but this is the issue where, like I said, just a lot of stuff happens. Like the evil Bruce Wayne, who's called the Batman Who Laughs, who is a Batman who got changed into the Joker and now wears spikes over his eyes, which makes it very hard for him to see,
He does see, I think.
Yeah, he does see.
Spiko-vision.
Does he see everything as spikes? That's my question. I'm asking you very specifically.
Or like really narrow holes at the end of the spike, so he can just kind of make out
pinholes in binoculars.
Yeah, he's good at looking at eclipses, and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I kind of had the opposite reaction. Like, this kind of got me back on board. Like, I was pretty lost with the last couple of issues, but I like this because we got some more answers as far as why everybody was concerned with the Hawkman's mace. That was kind of answered.
I've always been concerned about Hawkman's mace.
Yeah, we all have.
If you or somebody you know is concerned about Hawkman's mace, please consult your doctor.
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice.
Thank you.
I sort of in the middle, like, I do feel like what Scott Snyder is going for is this sort of, like, a riff on all this Kirby stuff and all this, like, heavy metal. Like, these characters are jumping into a horde of monsters to fight them off. Everyone's getting shot up with different spikes and other things in this. I feel confident the last issue will really bring everything together.
Yeah, to your point, I feel like there have been a lot of things, particularly at the beginning, that did feel like ridiculous over-the-top metal album stuff of like, a dark universe is going to drag you down.
Please tell me Eddie from Iron Maiden shows up in the storyline.
No, he's
somewhere
not
here. In time.
He's going to save everybody.
Lemmy from Motorhead?
Yeah.
Anybody?
But here it gets very plotty. I think that's the issue with this issue, is that it's setting up all this bad stuff so that the heroes can be triumphant at the end, and we need to see that ending at this point.
Too many Batmans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great. That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions that are going to come out to you guys. All you have to do is ask a question either, oh my goodness, for our amazing guests or for us or for, you know, somebody who's not here. We'll try to answer it. And you're going to get some free comics.
Oh, also, not just free comics, free but comics. Also some of Fred Ren Lenti's work is mixed in here.
And some copies of Action President. Some of Ryan's work, too, you jerk.
Well, I didn't get to finish.
Yeah, he has a long monologue to say.
Yeah,
that's true.
They are books. They are written and drawn by our guests.
Oh, the page. I saw your hand first. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. Now, you've probably thought ahead to where, if this is successful, who are the next four presidents going to be?
Ooh.
But my question is, discounting any who are still with us...
what a dramatic pause you had in the middle there.
Discounting any who are still with us, who are the presidents you would do last, and how do you think you would handle some of them?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's... Last question got intense.
I mean, I'm enough of a huge history nerd that we had attempted a version of the series early on that I'd written a bunch of scripts for. Like, I would love to do, like, Chester Arthur.
Yeah.
And, like, Andrew Johnson, who was Lincoln's
successor.
Sort of
successor. a bummer ending there.
And just all the sort of minor presidents. I think it was Franklin Pierce may have been our first gay president. You know, sort of a lot of interesting figures. John Tyler, who was maybe murdered.
Yeah.
Poisoned.
Tippecanoe and Tyler, too.
Mm-hmm. William Henry Harrison's great.
You want to do a book that's sort of like, and the rest of you.
Exactly. Probably. I would absolutely love to do that. But yeah, I don't know if I could get 110 pages of comics out of every single one of these people.
Yeah, it'd be pretty rough to do all that.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. You're going to get some free comics and books and other things. Let's get the next question. You, sir, I saw your hand up second. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Keir Alexander. My question's for Fred. I recently purchased your book that you collaborated with Greg Pak, Make Comics Like the Pros.
Awesome.
I haven't read it yet because I've just been reading so many other books on making comics and writing screenplays. I'm getting to that, I promise. But
we have your money, so, you know, cool. That's you don't have spirit. To. It's all right.
But, yeah, I just wanted to, I was just curious, like, what was the process like working with Greg, you know, trying to think of what are some important tips to give to writers or artists or anyone who wants to get into the biz?
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. In all seriousness, thank you for picking that up. We're really proud of that book. And Greg's been great giving out tips online on his Twitter feed about how to break in. What happened was the CBLDF, when they used to be in New York, used to have seminars, like educational seminars, and so they invited me to do one, and because I'm really lazy, I didn't want to do it by myself. So I thought I could drag Greg in, and we could do a seminar on collaboration. And it happened to be that in the audience, one of the guys who took that seminar was an editor at a Random House imprint called 10-Speed Press, and he then approached us about doing expanding that talk into a book. And so we had a lot of fun like interviewing all our buddies, like Kelly Sue DeConnick is in there, Jordi Belliard talks about coloring, Gabriel Hardman talks about penciling. We have a fun thing where we do a Marvel style plot, where like Marvel style is where instead of doing a script, you do a couple page description and let the artist kind of wing it, and then you come back and letter it later. Yeah. And so we actually do a thing where we have a plot, and then you turn the page, and then this is from a comic with Riley Brown, and then you see how Riley interpreted it, and so we sort of show different things like that. So we just did it. It was a scattershot thing and involved a lot of diner lunches, sitting down trying to figure it out. It was fun.
I'm glad you did bring up Greg Pak, because the two of you together are magic.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Where can you pick up that book?
Make Comics at the Pros, anywhere. I mean, it's...
I got it. Yeah, I found it at Kinokuniya's books on, like, 6th Ave, like that Japanese bookstore. I found it right next to the DC's creating your comics with, what's his name, Carl Potts?
Sure.
And I was just like...
Carl's book, yeah.
I was like, all right, I need to get this.
Menards is better, but, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, don't plug these other books.
That's right.
They're very next cool. Books. You're going to get some free comics, and I think you have a look at Fred's new book, right? Yeah. All right, there
it's
we go.
Very nice. Cool. Rare version.
Don't
very
leak rare. Spoilers.
I haven't read that.
All right, we have... just to interrupt the audience for a second, we have a question from Twitter. This is from @Joe_crack. Why do X-Men writers dealing with the Phoenix seem to ignore Rachel Gray, who's long been considered the one true Phoenix?
Oh, wow. We got a Rachel Gray fan. Joe Crack, real Rachel Gray fan.
I'm looking at you, Justin, because I feel like you're the person to probably answer this.
Really? Why is that? Because you don't know?
Because I don't know.
I feel like because Rachel has never been a central Phoenix character, and it's sort of confusing how her Phoenix powers work, because sometimes she's very powerful, and sometimes she's just like not super powerful.
Yeah, this is different than Rachel Summers, who... Or is that?
I think it's the same.
No,
person.
It's the same person. Person right?
Same person. Yeah.
So used to be a hound.
And there's your answer. Because nobody.
No. Well, yeah. But
she's from the future.
Right.
She's from the future. Really I feel knows. Like there have been multiple iterations of her, and so I think it's just confusing how she ranks in the whole.
But I would say
they keep giving her new code names.
Yeah. For Joe, if you are missing her, she's in a bunch of X-Men books right now. She was just in the Jean Grey book.
Yep.
Pretty prominently featured, so you can check her out there, and they pay tribute to
it was
her
on
history.
Cullen's. What is that, X-Men Blue? She was on that team, I think.
Yeah.
I would also argue, though, like, what character besides Jean Grey that has had the Phoenix is ever featured in any way? Like, Quentin Quire had it for a while, and he was just, that wasn't a big deal. It's only Jean Grey is the Phoenix, and it's, like, always her going away from it and coming toward it, or it trying to get her. So I don't think it's more that the Phoenix is just Jean Grey, and they spread it around a little bit more.
Yeah. And Namor.
And yeah, obviously Namor is the when I think Phoenix, I think Namor first. Then I think Arizona because it's a great city.
Sure.
But and then eventually
that great the British kids comic, that magazine, The Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, great.
Phoenix Online, also a great school.
Where you graduated from. Yeah. It's great.
Did you, were you guys there when Phoenix Online was taken over by The Phoenix from Marvel Comics?
Miss as far as the Phoenix
that
Force.
That was real bad. Yeah. But I did learn a lot about being a Firebird.
Yeah.
Majors in planetary genocide. Yeah. The enrollment went up like 1,000%.
The Dark University of Phoenix saga was really, really intense.
All right. Very cool. Good question from online. I think we can take another question here in the audience if anybody has one. You, sir, come on down over here. We're going to take your name. We're going to take your question, and then we're going to take your life.
We're going to take your name.
Well, you take my life. I don't know about that. But hey. How you doing?
Hey.
Okay. Talking about the presidents again in your book series on presidents. Would you deal with Barack Obama at some point?
Yeah, we'd love to. I mean,
his story isn't over though.
Yeah, the challenge of doing living people, particularly somebody as young as Obama, is his story's not over yet. So we try to avoid that.
That's something we've always followed. It's like when we did Action Philosophers, we made sure that we were just doing people that had passed on.
Yeah, we sort of broke that with Comic History of Comics.
Yeah,
and it did feel kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hopefully all the people
living people have yelled at us yet. Yeah. Fortunately,
I mean Trump's sort of over though, right? Like we could could do him. Right. You sort of get it.
Well, yeah, it'll be fun to try to explain Stormy Daniels to 4th, 5th, and 6th graders.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Sometimes people pee in a bathroom. Yeah, sometimes they pee in a bedroom.
Wouldn't that have to be...
For money.
Wouldn't he have to be in action presence, though?
In action? Uh-oh, we got a hot take from Alex Zellman.
Tough crowd there.
Ten dead stand-up comedians.
Hello, 911. I'd like to speak to the burn ward.
Yeah. Oh. Nice. Yikes. Finally a take. Oh, shit. Oh, Trump just... He stepped down after you said that. I can't believe that. He just took him down.
Was that it? Was that one perfect tweet that
took
him
down? Yeah, it was really the thing that he needed incredible. To destroy
I'm
him.
I'm glad you guys could be here for that.
Congratulations.
That really
history that's being made live on podcast. Bullet.
I just heard that he said in action presence, and I've decided to quit.
Oh, wait. After your impression, he's back in.
Yeah, you ruined
it. He took the job back with that, and he was like, I must continue to serve.
It's so he can be profiled by us. He quit, so now he gets a complete story.
I must have them tell my story. Let Fred Ryan tell my story.
I just want to see how Ryan Dunleavy draws me.
I'm already a cartoon. I'm going to be perfect for his style.
You've been doing him forever.
I've been drawing him for almost 2 years already online on a webcomic called Polidiocy. And I'm so sick of it.
Are you sick of drawing him?
I'm so tired of drawing him.
It is so early on in his time.
Yeah, I know.
Is it? All right, I think we're going to take one more question if anybody has one. Absolutely anybody about anything. Could be about your love life. Could be about
the good love life
movies
questions.
That are coming up. Absolutely anything that you guys want to know.
Health advice.
Boothman's got a question. Boothman's got a question.
Oh, yeah. Boothman
from downtown.
Go for it.
Is it about your haircut?
It's not about my haircut.
Good. But
if you want to answer questions about my haircut, you can just field them my way. Black Panther's coming out.
Yes!
How do you think this movie is going to do, realistically?
I think it's going to break every single record.
Really?
It's
not even movie records, but every record.
Yep. 100-yard dash.
It's going to be Olympic records. It's going to break. It's going to break. Yeah, I think it's going to break the box office. It's going to be the best movie ever to come out.
Seems a little hyped there, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely
tracking
reviews.
To do well.
Yeah, critic reviews came out today. They were great across the board. I'm sorry, some jerk will ruin the streak. The tracking has been bumping up. I mean, if you follow those sort of things, initially they're like, yeah, it's going to be somewhere between 100 to 120 million. And then recently they're like, oop, more like 150 million. Here's the thing about tracking is that traditionally they don't... I can't believe this is actually true, but they don't actually poll African-American audiences when they're doing tracking. So for something like Black Panther, I would venture, I'm terrible about this stuff, by the way, but I would venture that it's going to be 200 million or more. I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. I mean,
opening weekend.
Opening weekend. Yeah.
The pre-sale.
I think total. It's going to be like $200.
So, yeah, like, so I mean, what happened? In my local Alamo, it's already been, you know, we tried to get tickets for opening weekend. Can't every single showing is sold out. Multiple theaters, so.
Do you think this? Do you think this movie is going to do better than Wonder Woman?
Yes,
it might. Yes.
Because of the Marvel machine.
I think just on its own hype, like it. This movie has like the pre-sales are out of control. Nothing bad has been said about this movie yet.
Right.
Like, has anyone said a bad thing about it?
It's a 100% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah, so. It's a highly anticipated movie. It's an event, it feels like. It's something that people have been waiting for their entire lives to see. And, seems to also be a good movie. We had our guest last week, Langston Belted, went on a big rant about this, and I think he's absolutely correct. We're like, there's a section of the audience that has been dying to see this movie forever.
Oh, absolutely.
And then there's another section of the audience that's going to see it because they're Marvel zombies. And then there's some people who are going to see it just because they're like, well, I have to see it because I can't be like, oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, because then they're going to be made fun of. He says it much better. You should go listen to it.
That's almost everyone in the world.
That's what motivates every decision that I have.
It's like, is somebody going to make fun of me if I don't do this?
Almost.
Like, yes. Wow, you are susceptible to peer pressure.
So there you go. Let's get nuts. All right. Thank you, Boothman, and thank you for your audience questions.
Yes.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section briefly that we like to call the Week in Geek.
Week in Geek,
we talk about some geek stuff that's happening elsewhere in the working geek. Actually, one little piece of news to kick it off, tying into the Black Panther thing, kind of. So we're going to be doing a little bit of a giveaway on our Twitter feed at Comic Book Live. The reason we're not doing it for you guys in the audience is because it's only for people who live in Los Angeles, Seattle, or San Diego. I'm sorry, guys.
But honestly, think of the traffic. It's way better to be here.
Oh, my God. And the smog?
The smog. What a nice
smog. Not Seattle.
Seattle. Perfect town. We should all be living there.
Oh, my God. We should go there. Life expectancy through the roof. So we are going to be giving away two pairs of tickets to a 4DX movie, which is... You guys have been to 4DX movies, right?
Maybe don't let Pete talk about it, but yeah, I went to see a 4DX movie. It's where there's all these added elements to it. The chair sort of shifts a lot as the character shift. I saw Justice League in a 4D. I didn't realize I was seeing it in 4DX until I paid for the ticket. I was like, that was way more expensive than normal. And I got up there and I was like, oh, this is like a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it moves. It, like, if the character sneezes, it sprays on you, stuff like that.
Unless there aggressive is a germ.
There's a missed option. You can turn it on or off.
I turned it on because I was like, let's do this. Aquaman would jump in the water, I'd get some spray. Later on in Justice League, when all the flowers bloom, which was, I think, everyone's favorite part of the movie, obviously.
I don't really remember the flowers part.
It happens like at the end. It means that they did a good job. The scent comes through the room.
So let me ask you a question. I know you don't, but in the parts of the movie where Superman was on screen, did people's mustaches disappear in the audience?
Yes, exactly.
That's huge.
Great. I grew one. I get to keep it balanced.
Oh, okay. That's very
the
cool.
Conservation.
Well, we'll talk more about this because we're actually going to be all seeing Black Panther in 4DX, so we'll talk about that more. But for you guys listening at home, check our Twitter feed at Comic Book Live, and we're going to have a giveaway for you guys.
It's me forever, Justin.
Pairs of tickets. So that's going on. That'll go up attached to our podcast. So if guys in the audience here have friends in those areas, let them know. Next little bit of news. There was a lot of Star Wars news today. A lot of stuff came out. Two big things.
Too much Star Wars news.
Have you seen Star Wars? It's a movie series.
A few times.
Okay. It's a novel series.
Yeah, there's some novels. There's some board games.
Comic books.
Yeah. They've started releasing
cereal cups.
Apparel.
Cups. Yeah, I have some towels at home. Anyway, the two big things in Star Wars, working backwards, apparently they had mentioned a while ago that they were developing probably a live-action Star Wars TV series for Disney's digital service. Today they revealed it's going to be multiple Star Wars series.
Sounds about right.
Yep. So first of all, what would you want to see Star Wars TV-wise? What series would you want to see?
Well, we're going to see all of them. I think we're going to see...
Two words, Ewoks reboot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot
Caravan
of sense.
Caravan of Courage. Jump.
I mean, I see. That's great. Yup, dub. That's been stricken from the record.
Oh.
That's been redacted.
Yeah, well, we'll edit out this part later.
Not my VHS copy. It hasn't.
Cool. VHS. Yep. Nice. Pete's still living on that edge. the razor's edge. I think, truly, what corner of the universe is not going to be touched upon? What is the area that we want to see?
I mean, they're not going to do a Jar Jar series, I'll tell you that.
But they have to get into
famous
some...
last words.
Tomorrow, Jar Jar, the series.
Jar Jar's sitcom, sort of a Seinfeldian Jar Jar.
Sure.
He's the main character, but he's like not the funniest one kind of a thing. I feel like they're going to have to do some of the prequel stuff.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
Sure.
They can't just...
What would you guys want to see from a Star Wars TV series?
Less, quite honestly.
I mean, yeah.
And I love Star Wars, but that's enough for me.
I just don't give
it. It feels like a threat now.
Don't give
it's
a
like,
shit.
Hey,
like,
guess what? We're going to give you more.
I mean, I haven't given a shit since Empire, quite honestly. Like, that was the last good movie.
Wow.
Whoa.
I just don't care about
Children
Star Wars.
Children are crying right now.
Well, I think that's sort of what I wanted to get into next, because the other thing that they announced today is David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who are the showrunners for Game of Thrones, are going to be doing another unrelated Star Wars trilogy.
Oh, this
movies. That's the only part
movies.
I heard. There's a TV show, too?
There's multiple TV shows.
Oh, my God.
There's Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson, who directed The Last Jedi, is working on a Star Wars trilogy set in an unexplored area of the universe, meaning no Skywalkers or anything like that. And now Benioff and Weiss are also working on a trilogy that is unrelated to Rian Johnson's trilogy or the main Star Wars saga or the Star Wars story.
So it's not Star Wars.
Just looking at this from a pure like franchise management standpoint, forget about like anyone's personal investment in the franchise, of which I have zero, but it looks like they're really kind of forming a Star Wars bubble, if you will. Sure. Not unlike a stock market bubble.
Remember when they used to have 20 flavors of bubble yum and now you don't see it anymore?
You know, somehow Marvel's done a very good job of keeping franchise fatigue out of their various properties.
Yeah.
But then Iron Fist is very different than Black Panther, is very different from The Punisher, is very different from Doctor Strange or whatever. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is still guys in a spaceship or girls and guys on the spaceship. There's very little to it beyond the mumbo jumbo, the Force, and some cool iconography. I just feel like they're just going to ram it right into the ground.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, I agree with you. Like, what are the essential things that make a Star Wars story from a non-Star Wars story? It's just the Force, really, right? And the style, some style points.
And some cool armor.
Right. So, like.
And Chewbacca, don't forget Chewbacca.
And Chewbacca, who. It took them like 7-9 movies to get an arc. Maybe we'll have one.
I think there's an opportunity there, and they had an opportunity a couple of movies back to try something different, to come up with something different, and have something set in that universe that felt intrinsically different. But then that started to happen with Rogue One, and they decided, nope, instead we got to make it more in line with the rest of the Star Wars movies. And it sounds like that's the same thing that happened with the Han Solo movie, where Lord and Miller were making a Lord and Miller movie, which is like a straight-up comedy set in the Star Wars universe. And then they got skittish about that and instead wanted to make it more in line with the rest of the Star Wars movies. So if anything, I think the big problem is trying to make it feel stylistically consistent. I'd rather see things be taken in a bunch of different directions, have some really different stories, really different focuses.
Yeah. Well, just logistically,
that would be awesome.
Logistically, they're not going to be able to have that much creative control over this much stuff.
Right.
I feel like if they're making all these movies in different trilogies in different universes,
different TV shows,
and all these different TV shows that are have to be stylistically different in some way. They can't make 4 different TV shows that are just hour long short Star Wars movies.
And they're all spinning off that whole Skywalker family conflict that is sort of the baseline of the original trilogy, and that's just going to get real old real quick. They've already kind of played that out anyway. Like, where are they going to go beyond that? That feels Star Wars, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you've kind of seen the same problem.
Not to be super pessimistic or anything. But.
Seen the same kind of problem with Star Trek. It's like, you know, where does it go to a new direction? It's always going to be sort of the same. They've established it.
Yeah. On the positive side, like, I like that world. Like, I'm excited to see more of it. I would just... the thing that really bummed me out about Force Awakens was the lack of originality. What I liked about Last Jedi was the great new stuff that they added to that. So I would want to see like more new stuff that can still maintain that.
Yeah.
Anybody still looking forward to Solo? I'm very much looking
forward.
Here's
the thing. I'm still going to see every single one of those movies. It doesn't matter what I think. I'm still going to go and I'm going to sit in the theater and watch them.
What a great outlook to have.
Yeah.
We've had a comic book show for 12 years.
At least you're
honest,
Alex. Yeah.
What?
You're honest.
Yeah, I'm being honest. We've read thousands upon thousands of comic books.
I've loved everyone. Everyone. I kiss everyone before I go to bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
how
my
long
child.
Does it take you to go to bed on like an average
I'm
going to
start right now.
All right. There you go. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage.
We give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a Midtown gift card, because if you had $25 free, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will do. Yes, you, first hand up guy.
First
come on down.
First hand up guy. It seems right. Like he's always winning.
Yeah. Yo. Sir, what is your name again?
It's Kier.
Kier, audience Kier. Hi. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours.
All right.
Today's trivia is on action presidents.
Nice.
So as long as you know everything about that, you'll be fine.
Whoops.
Okay, here we go. What is the name of the his turkey, that is history plus turkey, in the action president's book? Is it A, Noah, B, Tim, or is it C, Carl Carlson? So it's either A, if you want $25, or you could pick something else and fail miserably. Say the letter A.
Is this a trap?
Nope.
I'm going to go with
A. Good callback, though.
If you're giving me that gift, I'm just going to have to go with A.
A is correct. Nice. Noah the His Turkey.
Way to take that
also
gift.
One of my favorite characters, gentlemen. Thank you for that.
My son has been writing fan fiction of Noah the His Turkey, which
I'll
probably be turning into comics soon.
Yes. In the first book, who do we learn didn't want to be president? Is it A, Lincoln, B, Washington, or is it C, Montgomery Burns? So it's either A, Lincoln, or it's B, Washington.
I guess I'll have to go with B.
B is correct. That's right. Nice. Don't overthink this. Here we go. Third question. The book talks about caring for what? Is it A, the awesomeness of history, B, for thy neighbor, or is it C, for the Gambletron 2000? So it's either A, for $25, or you could pick something else.
I like this trivia. I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. $25. Nice. $3 is yours.
On the
excellent
answers.
Well done.
Cool. Here you go.
All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Daredevil number 598.
Sure. Oh,
man, getting up there.
Yeah. Charles Soule is killing it on this book, and I'm very much looking forward to how this is going to work out with the Kingpin as mayor of New York City.
Yeah. Great. I'm looking forward to Swamp Thing Winter Special number 1. Tom King's writing that. Very excited about what that is going to be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Wicked and Divine Special 1923 is coming out tomorrow. If you haven't read this book, it's about a bunch of people who turn out to be gods every 100-ish years?
It's like 90 years.
90 years, something like that. And then they live for 2 years and then die and then come back later on. So we've been getting these specials showing previous lives of these gods. They're really cool, tell their own story, have a slightly different art, but also illuminate things about what's going on in the present in our main story. They're great. I'm really enjoying them a lot, and I'm looking forward to reading this. Fred, what are you looking forward to?
I'll be totally self-serving. I forgot this was coming out tomorrow until I looked at the list. I'm really looking forward to Armstrong and the Vault of Spirits tomorrow, which is a one-shot I did with Kafu for Valiant. It's about Armstrong, who is the drunken, immortal, strong man of the Valiant universe. He has a wine collection from every year of his 10,000 years of life. Wow. And annually he has a wine tasting party. And
hijinks ensue.
Cool. Ryan, what about you?
I didn't realize it was coming out tomorrow, but Paper Girls, number 20, is coming out. Yeah. I love that series.
And great book.
I really need to catch up. I'm only up to volume 3. So.
Cool. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out of yours?
Oh, Action Presidents, volume 1 and 2, will be in your comic book store tomorrow, along with Armstrong and the Bowl of Spirits.
And when is your book coming out? The
Con Artist is my comic book murder mystery. It's coming out July 5th. And it has illustrations by the great Tom Fowler, who did Venom and did How Toons and Hulk Season 1 with me, and is a terrific, and is the inker on Doom Patrol right now.
Nice. Great book.
And Secret Loves of Geeks comes out Valentine's Day, edited by Hope Nicholson and with a ton of great creators, not just me.
Cool.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So we have a literal hat over there if you'd like to throw a couple of bucks in, or patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, if you're a fan of the show Riverdale, check out our other podcast, Riverdale After Dark. It's in a separate podcast feed where we talk about Jughead and Bughead and Joni Jopaz and things like that. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
All those words make sense.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Hey, is this a trap? Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcasts and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ema Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Fred and Ryan for being on the show.
Booth Man Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Sit on crappy couches.